Are you paying your fair share of taxes?
I feel I'm taxed fairly. I live on a modest income and always have.
I feel like I'm getting a raw deal.
I don't think I pay enough.
I feel that I pay a significant share in taxes.
I would be willing to pay more taxes if it would provide health care for everybody in the United States.
Way too much taxes.
It's not too little. It's not too much.
The majority of Americans believe they're paying their fair share, according to a Gallup survey from last year. The top frustration with the American tax system is that corporations and the wealthy don't.
I don't think a lot of millionaires and billionaires pay what they should.
I don't think that people who make more than me pay their fair share. Income taxes should be exponential.
Nobody making as much as the top 10% has any need for that much accumulated wealth.
The people who need the money most pay the most in taxes.
What gets me the most is that the wealthy people we hear about don't care to pay their fair share. I'm sorry to point out the current president as an example, but he is a notorious tax evader.
President Donald Trump's family is the subject of a New York Times investigation revealing that of the $1 billion in wealth Fred Trump transferred to his children, the Trumps paid just 5% tax on that money instead of the 55% tax rate that was in place at the time. But the Trumps aren't the only ones skirting the tax laws. According to the latest data from the Internal Revenue Service, the tax gap is an estimated $458 billion. That means that between the years 2008 and 2010, that was the average annual difference between what Americans pay in taxes and what they actually owe. Again, for the people in the back, $458 billion with a B. That amount of money would erase more than half of our federal deficit. We could almost pay for the whole Medicaid program with $458 billion. And that difference is likely even higher now. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. In order to figure out whether fair is even attainable in the federal tax system, I'm joined by two guests. David Stasavage, Dean for Social Sciences at New York University and author of Taxing the Rich. David, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And we also have Vanessa Williamson, a fellow in governance studies at Brookings. Vanessa, great to have you with us.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So, Vanessa, you get the first fun question. Let's talk about the actual tax code. Who is this tax code designed to serve?
Well, the tax code is in part an intentional document, in part a series of historical accidents, and in part the result of, like all laws, lobbying by interest groups, and of course, especially high-powered, high-resourced interest groups.
And is it supposed to be complicated, Vanessa?
Well, I think it's unavoidable that the tax code would be complicated because the economy is complicated, right? But the tax code is, of course, more complicated than it would need to be because it is the product of law and of legislation and of political fights. So, you know, it is in the interest of wealthy people who would like to avoid their taxes, to pick one obvious example, for the law to be written in a complex way, which gives them more flexibility to avoid paying taxes.
David, 6 in 10 Americans that were surveyed in 2015 by the Pew Research Center said that they were bothered by a feeling that, quote, some wealthy people and some corporations do not pay their fair share in taxes. Tell us if that's actually true. Is the idea of what's fair even something that we can achieve under this current tax code?
Yeah, and I think the interesting thing about that figure is that that's been shown in survey after survey that there's a substantial majority of Americans who believe that the tax code, the tax system is biased in favor of the wealthy. And it's not just progressives, it's not just Democrats. A substantial minority of Republicans also, if you know, they self-identify as that on the survey, say the tax code's biased in favor of the wealthy. So if we're talking about fairness, though, one of the key things I think we've got to recognize is that there are different standards of fairness. And people may all agree that the system is biased in favor of the wealthy, but they may not agree on what the best alternative is.
And I'm wondering, Vanessa, we hear a lot about who does pay taxes. To David's point, there's a perception that the wealthy don't pay taxes. Do you know who's actually paying what in this current system?
Well, a good rule of thumb for the tax system as a whole, and that's not just the federal income tax system, but we got to remember there are gas taxes, sales taxes, payroll taxes, all different kinds of taxes that people pay. Many of those taxes fall heavily on lower income people, so it's good to remember the full range of taxes. So the rule of thumb I use is if you're in the bottom 20% of earners, you're paying about a fifth of your income in taxes. If you're in the middle 20% of earners, you're paying about a fourth of your income in taxes. And if you're in the top 20% of earners, you're paying about a third. But once you get to, say, the top 1%, 0.1%, 0.01%, then the tax system stops being progressive, right? We stop seeing those fractions go up, and we start seeing them curve back down. And the question really is how much they curve down. And that's really a question of how much income people who are millionaires many, many, many times over are capable of sort of disguising.
David, I want to give you an example. Who pays more of these two people? An employee making $100,000 a year, or someone who's living off an inheritance and reports $100,000 a year in income from their investments?
Well, one of the things that's clear in our system is that if you're an employee, the IRS is going to know how much you make. Your company gives you a W-2 that they also give to the IRS. And so it's really, really hard to avoid taxes. Now, if you're making income from inheritance, you should, in theory, there are ways around it, but you should, in theory, be paying taxes on income just like anybody else would. But there's no automatic reporting mechanism, and you may have money located abroad or in ways that are not easily seen. And so when it's difficult to track, it's possible that the IRS is missing something.
That doesn't seem too fair. I'm talking with David Stasavage, author of Taxing the Rich, and Vanessa Williams from the Brookings Institution. This is The Takeaway. Vanessa, I started out by talking about the tax gap. And there's this number, the $458 billion that we are missing, essentially. If the federal government could get this money back, how would that impact us in this country?
Well, I think there are two ways of thinking about that, right? One is the one thing you brought up at the beginning of the show, the idea of what would that money pay for? And it would pay for a very large and important program, you know, most of Medicaid, let's say, right? So we can look at it that way. Where else could that money have gone? Or we could do the full comparison and say, is that money more valuable? Is it more efficient or effective to have that money in the hands of people who already have millions and millions of dollars? Or would that money be better spent somewhere else, right? And I think that, you know, these are really quite large numbers. They have very large implications.
At what point did this system start to favor, if you will, wealthier Americans? Or has that always been built into the tax code?
Well, I think it's worth recognizing that the federal income tax was originally what was called a class tax. That is, it only applied to very, very rich people. No one else had to fill out a form or anything. It becomes what's called a mass tax so that more money could be raised for World War II. And that's when you start to see, you know, vastly more people having to keep track of their income. Now, the American federal income tax has always been progressive in terms of its rates, right? The rates go up as you make more money. The marginal tax rate, it goes up. But almost as soon as you start having a federal income tax, you start having organizing by wealthy interests to find ways around it, right? So that's been a back-and-forth battle the whole time. I just wanted to follow up on something David said, which I absolutely agree with. One thing that makes our tax code so complicated in the United States is that we try and do a lot of social policy through it, right? We try and reward homeowning or going to college, or we try and subsidize wages for low-income workers, and all of those things also make the tax code complex, even for people who don't have complex earnings.
Well, and it seems like we really do seem to favor certain types of institutions. Like, for example, people who are single don't usually get a tax break, right? Like people who are married, people who are not homeowners, people who are not parents, for example. But there's also bigger loopholes, right? Things like how the wealthy are able to hide some of this money or invest it. You mentioned capital gains, for example. Tell us some ways in which wealthier Americans can sort of work around what the rest of us are paying.
Well, yeah. I mean, the reason why we get this effect that Vanessa was talking about, where once you start earning very, very high incomes, your effective tax rate, the tax rate you actually pay, starts to go down.
And where is that? What's that point usually?
That's somewhere around $5 million a year in annual income, so pretty high. The reason for that, it's because it's not, you know, it's loopholes that are completely legal generally. It's not, you wouldn't even call it a loophole. A lot of it has to do with the fact that people who are very high earners are making different types of income. Maybe they're getting income that can be classified as capital gains. We tax capital gains at a lower rate than we do ordinary income of the sort that you'd be getting if you're just having a salary and getting a W-2.
And capital gains, for folks like me who sometimes forget what that means, that's money through investments, right?
That's money through investments, Susie. A realization of a gain on an investment you had made that is appreciated. And there can be legitimate economic reasons for treating capital gains differentially, say if you want people to invest and boost the economy. But it does have this alternative consequence of saying that once you're talking about very, very high earners, they're actually paying less. And so that's why you get Warren Buffett saying that he's paying a lower tax rate than his secretary.
Vanessa, who does the IRS tend to go after? I think that was a big question with this Trump story, right? Was now the New York State taxes authorities are looking into what Trump and his family could have done. But is the IRS more likely to go after a small, you know, earner who might have made a mistake on their taxes rather than these big corporate giants?
What I'd say is that it's easy for the IRS to see certain kinds of mistakes, right? Because they get money from your employer if you are paid a wage. They get money and then they get the information from your employer. They get the information from you. They can compare it. Very simple. Trying to figure out the schemes that we saw in the New York Times with Donald Trump, I mean, that took a team of reporters at the New York Times 18 months, right? And we've been cutting IRS funding for decades. So it's just really hard work that we don't prioritize in our federal budget.
18 months and I think 100,000 pages of documents and three very brilliant reporters. I want to thank you both. David Stasavage is Dean for Social Sciences at New York University and author of Taxing the Rich, A History of Fiscal Fairness in the United States and Europe. David, thank you.
Thank you.
And Vanessa Williamson is a fellow in governance studies at the Brookings Institution. Vanessa, thanks to you as well.
Thank you.